You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And I want to welcome a change. We've got a new producer of the Earl Ingram Show. I want to welcome aboard Cardi. Hey, good morning to you, Cardi. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, man. Tell us a little bit about Cardi.
Well, I was a producer on the Maggie Dawn show. They wanted me to bring me in on the morning show to team up with Earl, making Civic Media greater. I believe that this is a good change. I feel like it'd be a lot of communication and getting our voices out there and letting the people know exactly what they need to know. And it's a pleasure to be on the show with you and Sandy.
All right. So, Sandy, can you hear?
I can now. I could hear before. It was just garbled, but it cleared up.
No. All right. Well, welcome on board, Cardi, man. Calvin's not gone yet. But I do want to extend a debt of gratitude to Calvin, who did yeoman's work on this show. And, you know, whatever we are and whatever successes we've garnered have certainly come with Calvin sitting in that seat and doing some great things. He's not leaving Civic Media. He's going to be moving to a different time slot with a different host. And he's still going to be doing the Matt Nair show, but he's going to be moving down the dial a little bit lower. And not having to get up so early. But anyway, we'll talk with Calvin before he gets a chance to get out of here. But welcome on board. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
So we won't have Calvin to kick around anymore?
No, man, we won't. We won't have Calvin to kick. Well, way he's going, he'll get enough kicking.
All right. Yeah.
Sandy, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. There's serious, you know, things going on in this nation that that you and I are going to have a conversation that I'm sure if it's not being had all over this nation, it certainly should be.
Well, I thought we would step back a bit and sort of at an unemotional level talk about some fundamental things that are fundamental to how our government runs and how our society operates, namely the rule of law. You know, what is that? What does it mean? Why is it important? And talk about it conceptually before we step into the hot stuff of what's going on right now, because obviously what's going on right now is headed well in the direction of testing the rule of law.
But, you know, the only thing I would push back on is, you know, the emotional aspect of it, because, you know, people are emotional because the things that are happening in this nation right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I said, but I thought we could step back and talk about it first, the first level, unemotionally, just what is this rule of law? Why does it matter? Why have we all talked about it? Why do we all abide by it? You know, what is the fundamental importance of it? And then we could move on to, getting it to the point of discussing what might be at stake today, which obviously I think leads to a highly emotional conversation.
So, Sandy, before we get to the rule of law, why don't you, in your eloquence and knowledge, explain to the American people the three branches of government and how this thing is supposed to work and where the rule of law fits in.
Well, everybody, when they get sworn into office, swears to uphold the Constitution, because the Constitution is the fundamental bedrock of our rule of law. Societies all have to operate with rules because people have to know how to conduct themselves with one another. We have to create standards that create safety. We need speed limits on highways. Everyone understands that, because if you're driving through a village, you can't drive 70 miles an hour without endangering people. You have to drive a safe speed. And so the locality decides what's a safe speed for our road. It's 25 miles an hour. It's 30. Whatever it is, you abide by it, because if you don't, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to your neighbors, and it's not something that society can tolerate. You can't take things from your neighbor's house because you want it. That would be stealing. There's laws against that kind of thing. So we have the Constitution, which defines our body of law. It defines which part of our government has which authority, and how they relate to one another. So we have Congress, established by our Constitution. Congress is there to establish the laws and to decide what kind of authority they will grant to the executive branch to carry out the laws, which includes authorizing the executive branch to establish rules that would implement the laws. And then you have the courts, and the courts are the ones who decide what power the administrative arm has, the executive arm has, whether these rules were properly implemented, whether someone has violated the laws that were properly implemented, whether a law that someone is alleged to have violated was properly and constitutionally implemented. I mean, this is all the stuff that lawyers go to law school to learn about, but we all learn about in civics class as well. And so, you know, the Constitution ends up being fundamentally important. And then the laws get extended to the states. We have state constitutions. We have authorities granted to the state legislature through the Constitution. We have the state Supreme Court that decides whether laws are implemented constitutionally. We have municipal laws. We understand that if we want to change our municipal laws, we have to go to our alderman or alderperson and persuade them that they need to produce a bill that then gets implemented through the new local municipal laws. So we have this whole system that is set up, and it's been set up to have checks and balances, so that there isn't one organization in our government that rules the day, but rather there is three of them that are watching one another and making sure that one another do the right things. We've got the legislature, which is watched by the courts. We have the executive arm, which has only got the power that's granted to them by the Constitution and the legislature. And it's up to the court to decide and interpret the Constitution and the laws, because these are laws that need to be interpreted, and the court might determine that the law was improperly implemented pursuant to the Constitution, i.e. it's unconstitutional, and therefore can't be implemented as the legislative arm wanted or tried to do. I mean, these are things that have been ongoing in our country since its start, and we've had these norms reflected in the conduct of our government. So we've had laws implemented by Congress. We've had our Supreme Court determine whether they're constitutional or not. We've had the executive arm, which has honored the interpretation of the courts in the past. And so, you know, this experiment, what's been called this great experiment in democracy, has worked because this rule of law, which was established pursuant to the Constitution, has fundamentally been honored by the various arms of the government that were established within the Constitution, and in particular, the executive arm, which is called upon to implement it. So when Brown v. Education was adopted as the law of the land through the Supreme Court's interpretation of constitutional rights to equal education, it was our executive arm that sent the troops into Arkansas and sent the troops into Mississippi to make sure that the law as interpreted by the Supreme Court was actually implemented.
So having said all of those things, Sandy, and you said a mouthful, all of those things are at risk. So as right
well, I
now...
mean, they're certainly at risk if norms are not... if and here's the problem that we have, and that is that rulings of the court can't only get implemented by the court if the court has the authority of a local police force to implement it, or has at the federal level has the power of the federal marshals. The federal marshals are essentially a police force of the court, but the marshals are not within the judiciary. The marshals are part of the Department of Justice, which is part of the executive arm. So our federal courts have no independent power to implement their orders. So, and that's where we have an issue.
So, Sandy, on a state level, you know, the state legislature can't say, let's send in the National Guard. The governor has to do that.
Yes.
And then on up to the higher level with the presidency, the Supreme Court can't say, we need you to send in the troops to do this. That's, the president has that power.
Yes. Now, you know, locally, and what we're all used to is the enforcement of laws at the state court level. So, you know, if you have a speeding ticket and you violate it, you have a local police force that will take the actions necessary to give your car tickets, to put a boot on your car so you can't drive it, that will enforce the law in the various ways, and ultimately can come and arrest you based on the way the municipal law is set up, with giving the courts the authority through the sheriffs to implement the orders of the court. But we don't have that at the federal level. We have at the federal level a marshal system, and the marshals are dependent on the executive arm to for their orders.
So, Sandy, so the equal administration of the law, and you're an attorney who graduated from Harvard, and I'm just a blue-collar guy. But I would think that if the law is not administered equally across the board, then all the things we're talking about are in jeopardy.
Our system is dependent upon the constitutional prerogatives of the various arms of government being honored within the system, so that when the Supreme Court enters a ruling, our system is dependent upon that ruling being implemented by the executive arm, so that the rulings have effect, and it depends on that being done across the board.
All right, 8-5.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Sorry, I'm usually a huge rule follower. I just look incredibly cute today and I got caught up. Believe me, I know rules are important. I can prove it.
Let's go.
If we didn't have laws, it would be chaos. Cause laws are the framework for society. They don't just define what counts as a crime. There are laws, no doubt you have no idea about, like how we run elections and environment protections and how to start and what tax you pay. State and local laws and the Constitution,
that's the basis of our laws,
all come into play, yeah, yeah.
Let me break it down for
you. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Cute, Sandy. As always, you can join us at, again, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday, my co-host, Sandy. You and we'll get into the music and all of that later. We've got a lot of ground to cover this morning. we're going to have this conversation. You guys can join us, but we kind of want to get into this conversation, the meat of it, because there's some things that are transpiring in this government and that all of us are alarmed about. And, you know, Sandy, there are people looking to upend the government. And so we talk about the government, you talk about the laws and the rules and all of those things, but clearly there are people inside the government who are looking to transform it and upend it.
Well, I would say this, I sort of wanted to walk before we ran, but, you know, we've had a 70-year period where the Republican Party has tried to become and has essentially successfully, in the people's eyes, become the party of law and order. And they've used this cry for law and order to talk about how important it is in our society that we have law and order, and that people be held accountable for their crimes, and that this accountability will be important in terms of making sure that our system works. And we've all gotten used to the notion that that when people do things that are outside the law, first of all, they aren't supposed to act outside the law. But when they do act outside the law will come down on them in a manner that will keep that from happening in the future. Well, they've got that right in a way. That is the way our system is supposed to work. But to date, it's basically been implemented against Tom, Dick, and Mary when they step over the line, when they break a law. And we've developed firmer and firmer, stricter and stricter standards, three strikes and you're out, mandatory sentencing.
Truth in sentencing, truth no, and parole, no parole.
All of these things have been set up as the rule of law to be abided by everyone. And now we have a time when we have people in power and this legal process has become inconvenient to them. It's going to be time-consuming. They're going to have to use processes that might require notices to the public about what they're going to do. It might require hearings for the public to express their view about what it is they want to do. And so they just want to ignore it. And for some things, it seems innocuous. The president has announced that he would like to stop the printing of or the creation, the coinage of any new pennies. Well, Barack Obama talked about ending the coining of pennies, that pennies were sort of superfluous in today's world. But there's a process for that. Congress is in charge of our currency, and it would be up to Congress to decide not to issue new pennies. And so if it's an obvious thing to do, then let's get Congress doing it. And it shouldn't take a long time for Congress to enact something as simple as getting rid of pennies. But what we shouldn't do is have a president who simply dispenses with the process and decides to get rid of pennies. I mean, what will he decide to get rid of next? That's always been the way we learn in law school. It's like, okay, well, it might be okay here, but let's take the logical extreme about what that means. If the president can ignore this rule, can he ignore all rules? Is he free to decide which rules he can ignore and which ones he needn't follow and which ones he must follow? I mean, this is the nature of the rule of law. You don't let people independently decide what are the good laws. It's like jaywalking, okay? Can you simply walk where you want to on the street, or must you cross at the intersection?
You know, Sandy, what you guys learned in law school, the letter of the law and the inner workings of it, but we, the average citizens, don't know the inner workings of law. What we know is that we are to abide by it. And so if we don't abide by it, there's a penalty that we pay. And it may be that simplistic for the average American, because there's a penalty that would be meted out against us if we don't follow it. And so when we get into all the intricacies of it, it's really above our pay grades. We just know that things have always, we've always been taught to follow the law, because if we don't follow the law, our nation as we know it is at risk.
And fundamental to that is we are not entitled, each one of us, to decide which laws we're going to follow and which ones we aren't, because obviously that is chaos, because I might decide, I might have, make some good decisions and decide that, well, the only law I'm going to violate is the jaywalking law, and I'm going to violate it when there are no cars in vine. Well, actually, the jaywalking law is written in such a manner that probably that's permissible. But we can't each be left to choose which laws we follow and which ones we don't, because in that case, there are no laws, because some people will choose to violate any and all laws. And so that's the case with every person and every law. And we have to face up to the fact that we have to ask ourselves whether governors or presidents are entitled to choose which laws they're going to follow.
So some of us would think, in simplistic terms, what's good for the gander is good for the goose as it relates to law. And it's supposed to be blind.
That's the way it's supposed to work. We're all supposed to be gooses and ganders.
855-752-4842. It's Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams. We got a lot to cover, and we're going to certainly bring you guys in. But we got a lot to talk about. Our nation and what we know about it is in jeopardy on the Earl Ingram Show.
And since the laws are made by those we elect, we know the law should reflect.
Had 24 seasons, so most people know what it is.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll get into the music a little bit later on and why. You know, Sandy, you're explaining, you know, the law, and it's in simplest terms, it's very complex. If it wasn't complex, you wouldn't walk into a lawyer's office and see all those books that have been.
Those are all hollow. You know, they're just they're just there for show.
so it's so complex, but in the simplest terms that we can understand, the average citizen, we see things that are happening. And I can tell you that in my lifespan, I'm watching things happen that have never happened before in my life that I can recall. And they're moving at the speed of light. And every day I'm seeing confusion with how the government works and who's in charge of it. And so, you know, the good and the bad, this is what we're faced with. And so many of us would probably think, Sandy, that the law would be more definitive than it is.
Well, I think it is quite definitive, actually, but I think the problem is that what I'm talking about is the notion that process matters, that how you do things are almost as important, and maybe in the long run more important, than what you do. Our Constitution is entirely dependent on process. Our local laws and our state constitution are entirely dependent upon processes being followed. And those processes are designed to protect the public interest and to make sure that the public's interest is not negatively affected by what goes on, that the public has the opportunity to involve itself in what happens, and that there is transparency so that we can see what's happening. And, you know, whether our government has operated perfectly in the past, you know, the process has been mired, okay? We haven't had a lot of activity. We haven't accomplished a lot. There's a fair amount of frustration out there amongst the people about the lack of fundamental activity in Washington being responsive to what it is they want and need. Yes, but now we have in place a group of people who apparently are announcing to the public that, process be damned, they're going to go out and accomplish what it is they think the public voted them into office to do. And a lot of that is based on some intuition. A lot of that is based on their belief that they can do whatever they want because they've realized a so-called mandate from the public to do what it is they might have been talking about during the campaign. But process is what is fundamentally important to preserving society. And to the extent that what they choose to do, whether it's correct or not, in terms of public policy, if they do it contrary to policy, contrary to proper procedure, they will tear down our society and create a society that doesn't work. They will destroy the American experiment. And that's the fear I've got. You know, much of what DOGE is doing might well be, some of it might well be appropriate if they were using proper process, if they were handling regulations and abiding by them and modifying regulations as regulations are supposed to be modified and following process, then what they're doing is fine. We did elect someone to do things according to process and to change things according to procedures, but not elect someone to office to exercise complete discretion and to ignore inconvenient laws or inconvenient regulations, because that process will destroy the American experiment.
So, Sandy, you said process is at the root of all of it. And yet we're watching people say process be damned. And so once, as you stated, you do away with process, you basically dismantle what the government, the Constitution, and all those things mean. So
yes.
So we're at a critical juncture already. We're not talking 6 months from now, a year from now. We're at a point right now where it can be lost in the twinkling of an eye if certain things aren't rectified. Is it safe to say that?
Well, if certain, you know, for instance, we have a vice president who's talking about the possibility of the executive arm defying court orders.
It doesn't have to pay, yeah, right.
So that is the crisis I'm talking about. And the fact is that we have to look at two different things. What is being done, whether it's good public policy or not, but the second thing is how it's being done. And how it's being done is of equal importance to what it is that's being done. And I'm afraid that the current administration has decided that what is being done is the only thing that's important, and how it's done is a matter of convenience, and that swashbuckling and ignoring the law is in a swashbuckling manner is actually the new form of government that they want to implement. And that's the critical issue. So, that's the thing that will destroy the American experiment, because this person's good policy is that person's critical problem.
So if they're allowed to continue down this path, can Congress stop them?
Well, Congress can only attempt to stop them. The problem is the executive is the one that implements laws. And so according to the Constitution, the constraint on executive conduct is the court. and this ultimately the Supreme Court. But you don't get directly to the Supreme Court. You get to the Supreme Court through the lower courts. And the executive is not entitled to defy lower court orders. What they are entitled to do is appeal the lower court order to the Supreme Court and to use the judicial process to try and stay the action of the lower court or follow the legal procedures that are appropriate within the judicial process for dealing with the judicial contest over the executive's powers. And that's the way the system needs to work. And if it doesn't work that way, it will break.
So, Sandy, as solely a lowly rank-and-file American citizen, and we're watching all of this transpire before our eyes, and it's just like the things that Donald Trump wanted to do and that the judicial system tried to put brakes on, and now he's ignoring many of those things, and they're going to move forward in many instances because the judicial system can't stop him, then the only thing that the American people can do is take to the streets. Well, if they get frustrated enough, the only way possible to put a stop to this is the American people mobilizing, organizing, and taking to the streets.
I mean, you know, we've laughed about so-called banana republics, but if our elected executive decides to defy the courts, we have at that point become a banana republic. And there are only a couple of mechanisms that can defy and can control the executive who has decided to defy the law as defined by the judicial system. And those are the military, and what's happened in most countries is you end up ultimately with a military takeover where the military decides to defy its commander-in-chief and to take over the government and to reinstall the order of law, or revolution, people in the streets. But I mean, that's why I say that if the executive decides that he can pick and choose what laws to follow, our experiment is over. And the American democracy, as we know it, is cooked. And it's a big problem, a very big problem. And what I'm most concerned about is that we have people on the sideline right now cheering the conduct of our government, cheering the notion that they will defy the law that is inconvenient and gets in their way so that they can accomplish the ends that they've announced they want to accomplish.
Hey, Sandy, the executive has decided that he can ignore the government.
Well, I think it's not clear yet. I think that they've said they might. I think that this one order of the Delaware federal court that involves the injunction of the restraint on assistance and grants is up. The question of whether that's being defied is currently up in the air. I don't want to get ahead of the facts, ahead of our skis, but it's clear that this executive is headed in that direction based on the things they're saying.
Let's do this, Sandy. Let's bring a caller in. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, you know, you guys have been in charge for either the last 16 years, 12 years.
Hey, Gary, who is you guys? We're talking about the government. Wait a minute. Well, we're talking about our the government of this nation that is in jeopardy of being torn asunder, and it's not about you guys and those guys.
Well, actually, what I was trying to do with this conversation, Gary, is not talk about it from the standpoint of currently what's going on, but talk about the rule of law, why it's important, and have us, I presume you agree that people can't pick and choose what laws they're going to follow, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay, and you agree, don't you, that court orders need to be followed and that the process for testing a court order is appealing the court order and abiding by what it is a court orders, right?
Donald Trump can only do what the government and the laws allow him to do.
Okay. All right. I'm fine with that. If Donald Trump and the current administration wants to implement laws that are consistent with their ideological bent, and if they succeed in doing it, that's okay. That's the American system. That's That's the vote of our Congress. That's the process of our government. And so I'm saying that's fine. I'm simply saying that how you do things are as important as what you do. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then we don't have anything talked about, because I'm not arguing with the notion that the Republicans are free to implement laws that they can accomplish during this administration. I'm concerned about a process that might be utilized that would be outside the law.
So let me ask go ahead, Sandy.
Well, and so my issue is, for instance, what DOGE is doing now. And I don't know whether they're abiding by the laws, but it appears that they are running roughshod through the regulations of our government and doing it at a rate that will be very hard for the courts to keep up with.
Well, Sandy, I will say to you that there are many attorneys and many judges who do believe they're doing something that's outside the law. And so, you know, whether it's in question or not, there are many people pushing back and saying that what they're doing now is not in line with the law as they know it.
Gary, I think you should stay on the line if we have a break coming, because I think we should talk about whether there is a danger then that you perceive that would be created operating outside the law, even if what's being accomplished is something that you're eager to have accomplished.
855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams, and we're talking about just where we are at this time in the history of this nation. And Sandy, I just want to say this before we go back to Gary. To be honest with you, man, I'm not interested in people who see this from the perspective of what I see Republicans doing right now, doing things that are clearly in opposition to what the laws of this land stands for, and the fact that there are people who are watching the dismantling of the government before their eyes, and we want to somehow listen to why these people feel the way they feel. They're causing, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're pushing against the norms of what this government has stood for. And so,
that's why I wanted Gary to stay on, because I think I just wanted to have the conversation with someone who is a ardent conservative about the notion that what's going on could be dangerous, even if what they're seeing is something that they think ought to happen in terms of the policies. Well, let's see, because, you know, I think that what we need to do is step back a ways and say, okay, I've been frustrated. Gary recited a history that wasn't accurate. He said the Democrats have been in charge for the last 16 years. First of all, that isn't true. The Republicans had the president in the White House for four of those years, and they controlled Congress for many more of those years. And so, you know, we have a system in place. And there are people who are frustrated about the system not having been responsive to what they want to have happen. But I'm simply trying with this conversation to highlight for people and put into their mind the fact that how things happen can be just as important as what it is that happens, because today's sauce for the goose might not feel so good on the gander. So, you know, when we have Republicans in charge doing things willy-nilly and potentially ignoring the law and ignoring court orders, those who are Republican might be satisfied with that experience, but how will they feel when the tide has turned and it is a Democrat in charge and it is Democratic policies that are being implemented contrary to the law?
Well, Sandy, I'll say this. I don't see them feeling any way because, as I said to you, stated to you earlier, I don't see them doing this just for 4 years. I see them setting this in motion for rule, long-term rule. And so I don't see all the different things that they're doing right now just for 4 years of Donald Trump. They are looking to control the government of this nation.
Well, let Gary. So Gary, it sort of to further the conversation, if a court orders the government to do something, how will you feel if the current administration says they're going to defy the order and they order the federal marshals to stand down and to not enforce the order that is the order of the federal court? How would you feel about that circumstance?
I wouldn't like that at all. If they have a stay, if some federal judge goes out there and says he's going to put a stay on this executive order that he said, well, fine, then you fight it in the courts. He's doing so many, what has it been, over almost 500 executive orders that he signed in the last, 3 weeks or something. And to correct you, Sandy, I said out of the last 16 years, that you guys have been in charge of 12. I know that Donald Trump was president 4 years
ago. Okay, Gary. The point is, what are you saying, Gary? What is it you want the people to hear from the perspective of Republicans with what's taking place right now?
Donald Trump and 53% of the people in the United States see the mandate that Donald Trump is. And what he has is he wants to go back to what it used to be. The Democrats have gone so far to the left.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Come on, Sandy.
I think we're going to reach an understanding on the right about process is to talk to them about how important it is that whatever it is they want to accomplish. I mean, whether I can persuade Gary about what policies he wants to have accomplished, I think we can reach an agreement on the procedures that need to be followed to accomplish those objectives. And that's where the experiment in democracy can reach its end. If these policies that the right wants to accomplish are accomplished through the procedures set up by the Constitution, at least our Constitution is intact, our processes are intact, and quite frankly, it will be a more difficult procedure for them to accomplish all that they want to accomplish if they do it according to appropriate process.
I'm hearing Chuck Schumer and others ask for the exact same thing you are asking for, and they're saying that they're not even being heard.
That's why I'm hoping that we can have a sort of this non-emotional conversation reaching out to those on the right to have them at least recognize that process is vitally important and that their frustration with the system should not cause them to be encouraging a process that will destroy the American democracy.
Come on, Sandy.
And it's not that difficult to destroy.
Text. Come on, a text message. Come on, Sandy. All they do is giving.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.